Hey, we have been in this series called God's Plan for Circle J Cowboy Church, and I want you to turn to Ephesians chapter 1, verse 15 through 17. We're stuck in one spot, and God's just hammering on us on this deal. But last week, we talked about what ways we're to love or show our love towards each other. And we saw that we're to care for each other, we're to take up for each other, and we're to love each other, to encourage each other and restore each other in the bad times. Today, we're going to continue to answer those questions that we were talking about. And the title of this message is How to Love a Jerk. And I'm serious. How to Love a Jerk. This is either going to be the best message you've ever heard in your life or the worst message you've ever heard in your life, depending on what we do with God's Word and how we walk out of here today. But Ephesians chapter 1, verse 15 through 17 says, "For this reason, because I have heard of your faith and in the Lord Jesus Christ and your love towards the saints, I do not cease to give thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you a spirit of wisdom and of revelation and knowledge of him." Let's pray. Lord, we give this message to you, and we ask you in Jesus' name to have full authority in this place, that Father, you, under the sound of our voice, would move and examine every one of our hearts and our lives, including myself. That Father, this would be the best message that we've ever heard and not the worst message we've ever heard. That we would walk out of here encouraged that you are in process, that you are changing us from the inside out. Lord, help us take a step towards you today, and not a step away from you today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. How to love a jerk. So that's what we said. You know, we said it at first in a nice way. We said the other questions we were going to cover were, how are we to love the unlovable? How do you love a jerk? What are we to do? What if we can't love someone? These are real questions. Real questions. How do we love those that are unlovable? How do we love a jerk? Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 14, or 4 through 8. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, starting in verse 4. You know, if you're going to learn how to love a jerk, someone that's done you wrong, someone that you really don't like, somebody that's not like you, someone that you have no reason to love according to the world standards, you need to understand what God says about love. You need to understand what God's definition of love is as opposed to the world's definition of love. What does it look like? What does it sound like? What does it act like? How does it respond when it's done wrong against? 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 4. Y'all are beating me to it this morning. It says, love is patient. This is a list of things, by the way. And when you see a list in your Bible, you ought to number them. There's 16 different things that describe love. Love is patient. It's kind. Love does not envy. It doesn't boast. It is not arrogant. It's not rude. Not rude, what do you mean when your jerk's in front of your face and has done you wrong? Aren't you supposed to be rude back? The Bible says love's not rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable. It is not resentful. Boy, the Lord done gone to meddling on us already. Verse 6 says, it does not rejoice in wrongdoing. Doggone, you can't even get even with a jerk. Are y'all with me this morning? Okay. We're just going to get a little real today. And I'm just shooting down in a hole. If you get hit, you're in the wrong hole. You need to get out, okay? The other thing, if you find yourself in that hole, the best thing to do is stop digging. Verse 6. It does not rejoice in wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. Verse 7 says, love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. And then verse 8, he puts an exclamation point on it. Love never fails. Love never fails. So if you're having a hard time loving the unlovable, or if you're having a hard time loving a jerk, okay? I'm going to give you right off the bat two very practical suggestions that you can take home with you today that God possibly could change your life, will change your life if you practice this and do this very thing right here. Number one, ask God to help you be this scripture. Did you hear what I said? Ask God to help you be this scripture. In 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 4 through 8, pray the scripture. I'm going to give you a challenge. You open your Bible every day for a week, and you pray, God, help me to be patient with such and such. It may be the guy you're married to. It may be your kids. It may be your boss. It may be somebody on your ministry team. It may be somebody that's your neighbor that you've been feuding with for years. It may be somebody, in your family. We're just getting real here. Somebody you ain't talked to in years. Pray, God, help me to be patient with them, kind, to not envy, to not boast proud, not to be rude to them. God, help me to be not self-seeking or easy to anger. God, help me to not hold an account or a record against them. Help me to love them, Lord. And just pray that for a week. First suggestion. Second suggestion is this. James chapter 5 says that we're to confess our faults to one another. We're not to run around and act like we're perfect, okay? If you're perfect, leave. You're going to mess us up. We're not perfect around here. It says to confess your faults to another and pray for one another that you be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man has great power just working. So practice that in James chapter 5. Find somebody that you can ask to pray for you and somebody that will love you and encourage you and not condemn you and talk down to you and ridicule you and bash you because you're not right, but they will encourage you. Find somebody to help hold you accountable. Seriously. Ask a man or a woman to help hold you accountable for this. Ask them to pray for you. So two practical suggestions of how you to love the unlovable is you pray for these things in the scripture and you ask someone to help hold you accountable. Ask them to pray for you. Hey, here's another surefire way to help you. Forgive them. Really, forgive them. Forgiveness says it's the act of excusing or pardoning another in spite of their slights, their shortcomings, or their error. Forgive them. Forgive them. Luke chapter 6. Write these scriptures down. I'm going to read several things to you. You need to get this in your gut. Luke chapter 6, verse 37. Do not judge, and you will not be judged. Do not condemn, and you won't be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. Matthew chapter 18, verse 22. Write that. Matthew 18, 22. Jesus was asked, how many times are you supposed to forgive the jerk that does you wrong? Over and over and over and over again. And Jesus answered, he says, I tell you, not seven times, but 70 times seven. That's what Jesus said. Write down Mark 11, 25. Mark 11, 25. And he says, and when you stand and you pray, if you hold anything against anyone, he says, forgive them so that your Father in heaven may forgive you your sins. See, because if you don't forgive someone, the Bible says here that he's not going to forgive you. So you're so worried about that jerk, you better worry about yourself. And the Bible says, forgive them. Besides that, it messes with their mind. Try it. It works. It really does. Turn to Romans chapter 5 and verse 8. Romans chapter 5, verse 8. You know, it talks about how do you love a jerk? We forgive them. But look at this example. An incredible example in the scripture. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, Romans chapter 5 and verse 8. See, but God showed his love. Remember we were talking about how love, the response of love, comes out in action in earlier messages. But God showed his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Look at that. God showed his love. He proved his love for us. And while we weren't good people, weren't right, we were still sinners. God showed his love. See, it's easy to love people that you like. Y'all with me? It's easy. It really is. It's easy to love people that you like. It's easy to love people that are like you, that have maybe the same interest. It's but God, that doesn't make any difference to Him. It doesn't make any difference to God. You see, He loves us. He loves those that have done Him wrong. He loves those that don't even care about Him. He loves those, actually, that hate Him. He loves those that are His enemies. He loves those that don't have His best interest at heart. And listen to me, He even loves you, and He even loves me. You see, we could never come to the end of God's love towards us. We could never come to the end of that. And so He sets the example. He sets the bar high. We're to love each other the way He loves us. And you wondered why I'm hoarse? It's because we went. I got that deep Randy Travis sounding. I bet I could sing one of his songs today. What do you think? I ain't going to do it. Here you go. But this weekend, I've been hollering at kids. We had the Youth Ranch Rodeo Finals at Tyler. And man, we got to look at the Tyler Building Company that gave us the quote. We looked at the building that they put up, and it was immaculate. It was beautiful. It was hot. It was hot, and there were about, I bet there were 800 people underneath there that heard the presentation of the gospel of Jesus Christ twice. But our method of training these kids how to do ranch rodeo is to holler at them. And so me and Chris and Dennis and Billy, we spread out all over the arena. You get down there at that end, you get down there at that end, and you get down there at that end, and we just holler at them when they're coming. Get a hold! Rope him! Kick! Go back! Get him! So that's why I'm hoarse. If you like ranch rodeo just a little bit, you have got to get to one of these youth ranch rodeos and watch the junior division try to mug those calves. Son, if we got it on video, we'll show it to you if you want to see. That calf ate our kids. We got the biggest kids out of any team out there, and that little old calf this tall just ate their sack lunch. 71 seconds to ride a horse down the arena, throw a calf down, and tie it down. It was this big. He was a mighty mouse, dude. Now, he was chunking kids, running over kids. It's Western. You just had to been there. That's why I'm hoarse. But, hey. Here's the last question that I'm going to talk about with love. And you say, praise Jesus. The brother's been on love for 4 weeks now. Apparently, God's got a lot to say about love, doesn't He? And apparently, I've been trying to get off this, guys, but He won't let me. Apparently, you and me have a problem with love. Can we just get real? God would not be hammered. I can't get real. I'm not allowed to. He says, no, you can't get real. We got a problem with love, or God wouldn't be having me come back to it 4 times in a row. Now, I'm excited. I see things that we're doing that are just unreal, unbelievable. God's blessing us, and I see that side of it. But God wants to take us to the next spiritual level of maturity as a church. And unless we're a church that's known by our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, and our love towards each other, if we can't get a hold of those two things, guys, listen to me, we will not go to the next level with the Lord. This is absolutely, totally critical for you and for me to get a handle on. This is not anything that we could walk past. It's not something you can leave. It's not something you can sweep under the rug. It's not something that we cannot deal with. God is going to hold you accountable, sir. And He's going to hold me accountable for being these two things. And we have to take this serious. Now, here's the last question that I'm going to talk about. What if you can't love somebody? What if you cannot love someone? I'm just going to be real. What if you can't? What does the Bible say about that? I want you to turn to Luke chapter 6, verse 27. Matthew, Mark, Luke, chapter 6, verse 27. What if you can't love a jerk? Well, the Bible's got a word for us right here. He says, but I say to you, we'll read verse 27 and verse 28. But I say to you who hear, Jesus is saying, you better listen. He says, love your enemies and do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you and pray for those who abuse you. That's pretty straightforward. It's hard. Do good to those that hate you. What? What? Are you crazy? Do what? Don't say that to God. Don't walk out of here and say that to God. Don't abandon what he says to do here. Another scripture he says in Matthew chapter 5, verse 43. Turn there. It's the last scripture we'll show you today. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 43. It's very critical that you look at this whole section of scripture, that you make this a part of your life. If you're to grow spiritually, if you're to get unstuck in the rut, in the spiritual rut that you're at, you have to apply this. You have to move one day at a time towards this. What if you can't love someone? Matthew 5, verse 43, it says, you've heard it said that you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemies. But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, for that you may be sons of your Father who is in heaven. Christians. For he makes the sun to rise on the evil and on the good. Doesn't matter whether you're a jerk or not a jerk, a Christian or not Christian. God makes the sun to rise on us all. And he sends rain on the just and also on the unjust. Verse 46 says, for if you love those who love you, what reward is there for you? It says, what reward do you have? Do not even the tax collectors do the same? Those are people that are unjust, and that are jerks. In this time and age, people, bad, crude business people that have done everybody wrong, says, don't they do the same? They love people that love them. Verse 47 says, and if you greet only your brothers, what more are you to do than others? What, look at it. What more are you doing than others? You're not doing anything more. Do not even the Gentiles do the same? And verse 48 says, you, therefore, must be perfect as the Father in heaven is perfect. Man, I can't be perfect. But, man, you can ask Jesus to make you perfect. You can ask Jesus to help you be this one day at a time. Instead of doing what verse 43 says, you've heard it said that you're to love your neighbors but hate your enemy. We're not to do that. Instead, we're to, but I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those that persecute you. The Bible says here that we are to love the jerks in our life. Jerry Ann gave an incredible testimony about love and about how God has brought her through and brought healing and had to move her from point A to B to C to D and so forth. How do you love someone that's unlovable? We've talked about that. What if you can't love someone? There's two scriptures where God says to do it. Listen, believe me, there's not anybody here that hasn't been affected by divorce. There's not anybody here that can, you can tell me somebody, you don't have some reason to just hate somebody's guts. There's not anybody here that hasn't been done wrong by a jerk. I've had my father murdered. You've had people maybe murdered in your life. You have reason to hate the jerks in your life. I find nothing in the scripture that says we're not to love them. If you cannot love someone, you need to fall before God and beg him to help you and to get right with God, to get right with him. Listen to me. Listen, please, please listen to me. If you can't forgive somebody, then you have a love problem. And if you have a love problem and you can't love someone, then you have a problem. and it is a spiritual problem. That's an area in your life that God does not have control over. I would encourage you to get that right before you leave this place today and to beg God. Say, God, I'm sorry. I can't do this. And you begin to pray these scriptures and you ask God to change you from the inside out before you leave here today. I want to give you a chance to do that. Now listen to me. Acts chapter 17 verse 31 says, "For he has set a day when he will judge the world for justice by a man that he's appointed." He's talking about Jesus. "He has given proof of this to all men by raising him from the dead." Are you ready for God to judge you today? Are you want this sin of unforgiveness held on you? He says he's not going to forgive you unless you can forgive that person. I know this is tough, guys. I told you this is either going to be the best message you ever heard or the worst. It will be a condemning message in your life if you walk away from here and don't take God serious at his word. I've told you the truth, and that's my responsibility. The question today is, what are you going to do with the truth? That responsibility is yours. I can't do that for you. I can encourage you and be there for you, and I will be. But I encourage you to make a stand for God's word and love the jerks that God has allowed to be in your life. Acts chapter 16, verse 31 says that if you haven't come to Christ, you haven't surrendered your life to Christ, he replied, "Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. You and your household." Now listen, love can't be in you unless Jesus is in you. Jesus is the originator of love. God proved it. He sent his son. If you're having that much of a spiritual problem and you haven't come to the point that you've surrendered your life to Christ, don't try to get all this love stuff together in your life. Man, come to Jesus. Come to Jesus. That's the first step. Let's pray. Lord, here we are this morning, and your word, you say, is good for reproof and correction. It's a light unto our path, a lamp unto our feet. Lord, it's living, it's active, it's cuts. We've been cut here this morning. And I pray, God, for those that are having problems loving the jerks in our life, Lord, give us the ability to love even them. To love the unlovable. And Lord, if we can't love someone, give us that ability as we fall before you. And sir, ma'am, I just encourage you right now to do business with God, just between you and him, and beg him to forgive you and to get that right with him. So help me to see God. If you have not come to a point where you've surrendered your life to Christ, I want to invite you this morning to pray a prayer of salvation. It's not just a prayer, it's an eternal commitment that you make to the Lord. If you know there needs to be a change in your life and you're sick and tired of being sick and tired, see, we're condemned to hell because of our sin, but God sent the answer in his son Jesus, that if you'll surrender to him and believe in him, believe in the Lord Jesus, you will be saved, you and your household. So I encourage you to pray this prayer. Say, God, just between you and him, say, God, I need to get right with you today. I ask you to forgive me of all my sin, all the wrong, all the choices in my life today. And I ask you, God, to come into my life and say this. I pray to receive Jesus right now. Lord, you come into them and you change them from the inside out. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.